This is Average Joe Finances Podcast, episode 85.
Me and my co-host, when we first started, we knew nothing, literally nothing about crypto. When you look at the big picture of everything, we knew there's an app, you can buy crypto, but we didn't want to buy crypto, we want to mine it.
If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you smash that like button and click subscribe. For those of you listening on a podcast platform, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform that is and leave us a rating if you can. The more likes, ratings, and subscriptions that we get, the more we can spread the message and grow our community. So we also have a free Facebook group. It's called the Average Joe Finances Network. Check us out, join the group, join the community, ask questions, and become a part of the team. All of our other social media accounts are listed in our flow page, and we have them in the video or podcast description below.
Welcome to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Are you trying to get out of debt, invest, or just not sure where to start? Then this is the place for you. We discuss different ways to get out of the rat race and build your wealth. Join us on this wild ride to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Cavagione. Let's get to today's episode. Hey, how's it going, everybody? So today's guest is Mark Anderson, and he is one of the co-hosts of the Amigos PC podcast, where they converse with their guests that have backgrounds in comedy, cinema, and crypto. So Mark and his partner here, Scott, are crypto connoisseurs, they're cinema enthusiasts, and they're crypto excavators. So their show was built from the ground up, and like all podcasts, it's gone through the hardships that all brand new podcasts go through. They've had several notable guests on their show, like Kevin L. Johnson from the Ozarks, Ralph Sutton from the SDR Show and Gas Digital Network, to Jesse Camacho from Netflix's Lock and Key. So Mark and his co-host Scott have also started a home-based crypto mining farm from basically no knowledge to building multiple rigs. They were dabbling in ASIC miners to now having a full-blown crypto mining operation. I'm pretty excited to talk about this stuff because as I'm describing Mark's background, I kind of know what that is, but I kind of don't. So I'm pretty excited to get into this. So Mark, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man.
All right, right on. So the first question I'd like to ask you is the same question I ask everybody that comes on the show. I gave a kind of a wave top background of you and who you are. So if you could share a little bit more with us and tell us how this all got started for you, what made you want to start a podcast? What made you want to start mining cryptocurrency? We want to know.
So I have a over decade long experience in the mortgage industry, done everything up and down. I got really tired of the 9 to 5. Well, in the mortgage industry, it's really like 10 to 10. 12-hour days, just depending on what boom we're in when it comes to refis or purchases or things like that. Podcast-wise, me and a buddy, we were just sitting in his backyard. We're having drinks, having a conversation, kind of just, how most podcasts start, man. We're having drinks in a backyard, and all of a sudden we're like, hey, what we talk about, we find funny. I'm sure other people would find this funny too. Let's record it, right? And so our show wasn't even really about comedy, cinema, or crypto up until probably about a year ago. We decided that at some point we're going to have guests on, and that happened immediately. And it really gravitated towards just having a bunch of comedians on and local to the Phoenix area where we're based out of. The show has expanded a lot since then. We've dived into having, actors on or people within the film industry, whether it be, cameramen, to film directors or all of the above, because it's their baby project that they're actually talking about on our show. So they are the writer, director, and actor of it. As you stated, in the bio, we started a crypto farm. We started at home with just one rig that we put together. We bought and then flipped and then put together. It's almost basically reverse engineered it. And now we are diving into a full blown mine. We've rented out a warehouse and we joined up with another YouTuber, John from the Side Hustle Enterprise. And it's just, ASIC machines everywhere, rigs. We have a little bit of everything going on when it comes to crypto.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And, one of the things that you kind of, you know, were talking about that I wanted to jump in on was the way that you started this farm, right? You had mentioned that you bought this rig, right? And then flipped it and kind of reverse engineered it to make it, you know, work again. So how did that work? Like where did you find it? Why did you have to change it so much to make it start mining?
So me and my co-host wanted to get into crypto mining. We're like, all right, we've made the decision. We're going to do this, right? How do we build a rig? And that was the first question. And we're both like, okay, we don't know. So we started looking at YouTube and we're like, okay, I'm kind of getting it. This seems complicated. Let's try to make this easy on ourselves. Let's just buy a rig, right? Let's just save up enough money and let's buy a rig. It's already put together, everything like that. We finally found a guy on OfferUp. A lot of when it comes to GPU mining has always been secondhand. We have some newer equipment that we got, you know, retail from a store. Most of it is secondhand. Like we're dealing with people in the streets trying to, you know, negotiate deals and getting graphics cards and building our farm when it comes to GPU mining. Excuse me. So we found somebody that we negotiated a deal to get a rig. And we're like, hey, yes, this is an RX 580 rig. Everything looks good. We're going to mine Ethereum on it, all this stuff. And we missed a small detail when getting this. And so Ethereum can't be mined anymore on anything under 5 gigs, basically, as a VRAM, virtual RAM on a graphics card. And so these graphics cards that we got, it was a 6 gig rig. Or not 6 gig, 6 GPU rig that was already built, pre-built for us. And all of the cards were 4 gigabytes. And we're like, oh man. So we get it. We're all excited. We plug it in. We start mining. And we realize that the hash rate is not what we were actually expecting. Hash rate is basically how fast this thing can compute to generate the type of cryptocurrency that you're directly mining or mining through a third party service. So we're like, okay, what do we do now? What happens? So we flipped it. We took all of the cards. We kept the core essentials of the rig, the frame, the motherboard, all of the connectors, risers, you know, power supplies, all of that stuff we kept. And we're like, let's sell the GPUs and upgrade. And essentially, we already knew that 580s, RX 580s, these are AMD cards, the creator of you know, one side, it's either AMD or NVIDIA for like brands of graphics cards. So we knew that these would work, but they needed to be 8 gigs. So that's just what we looked for. They needed to be more than 5, I should say, but the next step up is 8 with these particular cards. So we're like, all right, let's find those. So as we were flipping these cards, we are getting 8 gigabyte cards. And we essentially built a rig and we invested a little bit more at that time too, just to get more of those cards because we found somebody that had them new in the box, just sitting around. The cards themselves are like 5 years old, but they've never been used, never been opened. And you could tell that when we got them, the seal was there, card was never touched, nothing. So took that out and we started, you know, basically re-engineered the rig to fit our style or what we wanted to make, what we needed, because we went from a motherboard that could hold 6 to now we needed to take that apart, get a new motherboard, put that on there that could hold 12 because we ended up getting 12 at the time.
Okay. So when you only needed 5 gigs though, right? So then the new cards you bought were 8 gigs.
Yeah.
Did that help the hash rate? Like, would you get a faster hash rate because it was 3 more gigs than what was required? Or does that not make a difference? Is it all about the processing speed of the video card?
So it is all about the processing speed of the video card, but the DAG size, which this is basically how big the file of Ethereum is to actually put on a graphics card to start mining, is over 4 gigabytes. So you have to be over 4. Like it. And that does affect your actual hash rate. So the closer you are to 4, your hash rate might be affected. So you have to make sure that you have enough leeway in actual space for VRAM, because we have cards right now that are 6 gigabyte, you know, right all close to, you know, that 5 gigabyte marker. And even still, like I said, 4 gigabytes really is the cutoff. But if you want to be safe and making sure that you have a card that you can hold for a little while and resell later at some point, you know, maintain its value. That's how you kind of, as an investment, you mitigate risk. Then at that point, you know that, okay, well, if I get at least 5 gigabytes, I got like a good year on this specific algorithm, which if anybody follows Ethereum at all, it could be less than a year at this point. We don't know just exactly what they're going to be doing here pretty soon.
Yes, I'm writing this one down. Like, you know, you guys are treating the video cards that you buy as an investment, right? But it's an asset that, you know, you want it to hold as much value as it can, right?
Yeah.
At the same time, though, I don't know if it I might compare it more to like a car, right? You buy a car and right now used cars are insanely overpriced. So maybe that's the same for used video cards. I don't know. But it was the video cards, right? That we're talking about. I just want to make sure I know, because I'm not the smartest when it comes to this stuff, but I'm learning as we go here. That's pretty awesome. So you want to make sure that you have something that's not going to get fried because you overworked it, and you can, you know, get some money back when you go and resell it, because I know this stuff's definitely not cheap. The Best Buy over here, every time new GPUs and video cards come in, like you know, because there's this line outside of Best Buy. I'm like, what video game just got released? I was like, oh, it's not a video game. It's Thursday and the shipment just came in. Cause in Hawaii, like it was like the set days. Like this is the days that this stuff's coming into the store. People know about it. I mean, they set up tents out there. It's like one of those pre-sales that you see or somebody waiting for an autograph. It's the same thing when it comes to this stuff. So I guess there's some pretty, there's a large amount of crypto miners probably out here in Hawaii, but I got to imagine that they probably spend a lot of money because electricity here is definitely not cheap.
Yeah.
What about over by you?
It's not super expensive, but it is higher than where like our mine is. Like here, our residential rate is about 9 cents, which, you know, that's decent. It's below the national average. But I can only imagine why. What is it, like 15, 17 cents, something like that? I know it's high.
32 cents.
Okay, I was
it's pretty rough. That's why I have solar panels. Speaking of, now you guys moved this whole operation into a warehouse now, right? You have this whole big thing going. Do you have a solar farm? Or what are you using to power that, or is it all like industrial electricity rate?
Well, one of the reasons we chose where we actually have our mine is because it's within, I would say, a stone's throw of a hydro plant. So we're technically getting hydroelectricity from the provider that we have. So it is a lot cleaner than if we were to have, you know, just standard electrical that's based off of coal or anything else. Nuclear is still pretty efficient too, but the place where we're at again is a hydro facility. So we are getting electrical generated specifically from hydro. Now, the goal down the road is to have some type of solar and hydro that we're actually we'll be putting like on a building and things like that. Because the warehouse that we have is very temporary. I could see us only being in this facility maybe a couple years. And then at that point, it's let's buy some land. Let's put a building. One of my partners actually wants to take old shipping containers and convert them into facilities, which I am very open to because that's very unique and that would be awesome journey to document.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be like the end all be all. Like we probably need a bigger structure just because we're going 138 million miles an hour right now with this endeavor.
Yeah. So I actually saw something like that on YouTube. I believe there were some videos that I was watching about that. And, you know, it was one thing that I always saw because I'm big into real estate. Right. And there's always people talking about, you know, buying the shipping containers to make the container homes. And I saw one guy that was taking shipping containers, slapping solar panels on the top of it and building small, like crypto mining farms out of it, sticking like an air conditioner in it to keep it nice and cool on the inside. And it was running almost completely off solar panels, but he also had a generator too to help keep the electricity amperage up where he needed it to be. Now, the thing I don't understand about that, don't you have to be connected to the internet to mine Doesn't it have to be connected? So all the blockchains speaking to each other, yeah. Right?
You do have to be connected to the internet.
It makes me wonder, because like the way the video I saw, they had like they had this plot of land, and it was like it looked like it was in the middle of nowhere, and they had this going on. Maybe they worked out a deal with Elon and they had some Starlink. I don't know. But it looked like it was in the middle of nowhere. So I think that's really neat. And if you do something like that, definitely let me know, especially if you're going to document it, because that's something I'd like to see, like, you know, start from the beginning to the end. And that might be something that any crypto enthusiast or somebody that's thinking about starting a mining operation would definitely, I think that's definitely something that they would want to watch for sure. Yeah. Because that, you know, just the way that you guys started off in your, you know, you said you started in your home, right? You just started building
literally
a couple machines.
Yeah, literally had a rig in one of our closets. Like that's it, how small it started. And now it's just gone a little bit out of our hands.
That's my podcast operation, man. I'm in my closet right now. I have a rather large closet in my house, but yeah, this is where I set up my little makeshift studio. So that's pretty awesome. You know, it's a lot of greatness starts in closets or garages. I'm just saying that.
Yeah. So. Our podcast literally started in a garage.
See? See, there you go. Good stuff. And I mean, look at the guests that you guys have had, right? So you're obviously having a very successful podcast and now a successful crypto mining operation. So this is pretty cool. Now, you know, we talked a little bit offline before we hit the record button, and I asked you if there was like anything else that you invest in. Now, I think, you know, you're going to start looking at land here soon, right? Because if you're going to look to move your operation and build your own warehouse and facility, you know, you're going to start looking at different things like that. So what kind of tools or what do you have in your tool belt to help you when you go to expand this operation? Like, what are you going to do when you start looking at, you know, buying land? Are you going to look in a specific area? Are you going to try to stay rural? Do you want to be close to a city? Do you want to be close to a power plant or like where you're at right now, close to that hydroelectricity station? Because I really do like that you guys are, you know, kind of like using more of a green energy thing, because that's one of the biggest complaints people have about crypto mining. You know, Elon Musk was put on blast when he was, you know, supporting Bitcoin and how that was going on. And they said, hey, it's actually bad for the environment. So, you know, when you talk about stuff like that and you're looking at, you know, alternatives, I think that's really awesome. So is that going to come into play when you look to move your facility?
Well, when we actually do decide to buy like a lot or a building or something along those lines, the intention immediately is to be off grid. So the grid would be there for like as a backup, or it would be our backup generator for the most part. So we would want to stay close to something that's like hydro or something more energy efficient, which I mean, hydro, you can't really get much more efficient than that other than solar and things like that. But yes, some solar, some type of hydro on our own, you know, close to a water source maybe that we could, that's on the land. So it's technically ours. We're not damaging too much. We don't want to move or adjust, you know, ground or things like that, nature as it is, but, you know, we want to make it work in our favor. So if we can find something, water-based wise that can help turn turbines and things like that, that's definitely something, you had stated, you know, what type of tools do we have? This isn't my first endeavor of things. Like I have been trying to find financial freedom for, I would say maybe 5 years at this point. And I used to do a lot of wholesale real estate. I have my real estate license here in Arizona. So when it comes to like tools, like I'll know what type of land we're getting, or where, or, you know, what a building is worth, you know, things like that. So there are quite a few things on my background, at least, to where I can like, okay, what's a good investment? What's not a good investment? You know, what are we getting ourselves into? Does this need to be rehab before we even do anything? Do we need to flip it right off the bat so we can get more capital? You know, a lot of different things that we can get into once we're ready to take that step.
That's awesome. And you snuck that one in on me, man, because when we talked before, yeah, I had no idea that you previously had a real estate license, right? And was wholesaling. So that's really awesome. That's like right up my alley. So, and I know you said you had, you know, previous experience as you were an MLO too, right? A mortgage loan originator.
I've done a little bit of everything in the mortgage industry. So you name a job or aspect that has to revolve around a mortgage, and I've done it.
Okay, right on, right on. So you definitely have a well-equipped tool bag when it comes to, hey, we want to start looking at, you know, a new facility to move our operation to. You definitely have a really good tool bag. So good. All right, man. Well, okay, moving on then. So you said that you've been on your search for financial freedom for the last 5 years, and it looks like you've kind of dabbled in a bunch of different things. And it reminds me of kind of like where I'm at right now, where I kind of dabble in so many different things right now. So I'm still active duty in the Navy, but I also have my real estate license on the side because that's what I plan to do when I retire. I also invest in multifamily real estate right now and things like that. And I play a little bit in the stock market. I don't have much in there, but it's just a little bit of play money. And it's stuff that's fun to do. When you say that you've been on your search for financial freedom, you know, while you were doing it, you said you were doing some wholesaling, right? And then you got your real estate license. I have a question because I have my real estate license. What was the significant difference between when you were wholesaling properties versus being a real estate agent and collecting a commission that way? What would you say was the biggest difference?
Well, as a real estate agent, you're mainly working for your client, right? And you're legally obligated to act in their best interests. Whereas wholesaling, you're acting in your own interest and you're trying to maximize your profit as much as possible. And you're also dealing directly with like a home seller. So at that point, you're kind of also helping them in their situation and trying to get them out so you can move them on to their next stage of whatever they're doing. And then you can then, you know, if you're going to burr it or if you're going to flip it, you know, whatever it may be, there's multiple different avenues of actually wholesaling. So that's my main difference, at least, is you're working for someone versus your interest is yourself in wholesaling.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You don't have that fiduciary responsibility to someone else. So, okay. Yeah. No, that is the key difference. So I was curious, like, you know, if you noticed like anything in particular that would really stick out to you. So that's awesome. Now
there's a lot more freedom when it comes to, wholesaling versus actually doing traditional real estate. So traditional real estate, you really got to, I mean, there's gray areas, but you got to play around, you know, in the box, right? For the most part, as a legal real estate transaction. Wholesaling, you can get very creative. Creative financing is another option. And there's just a lot of different avenues you can take with wholesaling.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I want to get back to crypto because that's really what I brought you on here to talk about. But when you start talking about real estate, I can't help it. I just gotta tap into that a little bit.
I don't want to derail you or anything like that. But one thing that kind of will maybe gravitate us to crypto, the approach that we're taking with crypto is a wholesale mindset. So a lot of the investment that we're doing with crypto is not our own money. We found investors that will help us, and you know, we've put them at terms that the typical person would be like, wow, that is ridiculous. But in wholesale and the creative financing that wholesale brings, the knowledge that I have, you know, the terms of which we're giving these investors, it's normal, right? You flip, hey, we're going to pay you in 12 months, six, 12 months, and we're out. We're, you know, moving on to the next thing, whatever. I found a way to relate that with mining crypto, especially every time things start to really pump. When it comes to value of, okay, well, I will borrow money from someone, right? Or let somebody invest in me and I'll take that investment. I'm going to start buying miners. And then I'm going to sit here and start mining. I'll 40X and then pay them a portion of that 40X to finish my note with them. So I've taken, and I think one of the reasons why we've gone from basically the ground floor to now this warehouse that we're in and we're you know, basically at capacity with the amount of miners that we can actually hold in it is because of this philosophy in trying to finance it using it in an investment mentality.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. You know, I didn't really think you can do something like that, I guess, in the crypto realm, right? So you guys are essentially treating it like I guess more like a syndication or like a JV partnership where people are coming in and, or even as like private lending, right? So people are private lending you guys money, you know, for your project, for your piece of real estate that you're buying. Right. And you're taking that, investing it into your miners, right? And then over the period of a year, mining all this Ethereum or whatever else you're mining. And now you just, you know, collected this and you're paying them, you know, a rate of return that you previously agreed on. Like, let's say that's 12%, but you 40X'd. I mean, you just made a killing. Other people's money, OPM, right? Which that is huge. That's really awesome. Now, when you pay these investors back, are you paying them back in cash or are you paying them back in crypto?
We're leaving that up to them. Now, we actually put it in our contract and our stipulations that they can choose. We do have investor that likes to rotate it. So, you know, 1 month is cash because we pay monthly. 1 month is cash and then 1 month is crypto. And then by the time of the term ends, we just pay whatever the difference is. And if he wants to redo it, great. If not, you know, thank you for the business.
Yeah. That's awesome. So you pay monthly distribution. So that's pretty good because somebody can, you know, put an investment in right away and start collecting, you know, and start getting returns on their investment right away.
We have been very fortunate, especially with the investors that we've had. Like we had have started paying them on their initial investment before we even get miners. We've just made that initial promise to them. Like, look, every time it's payday, you expect it from us, and we're trying to keep them happy in doing that. And then when it's time to actually pay it off, we're trying to do that well in advance as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic because you're building your reputation and your credibility with these investors, and all that's going to do is in the future when you need more money to start the next project, they're going to be right there like, here you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's good stuff. That's really good stuff. Okay, so now if you're investing, so let's say somebody loans you $20,000, right? Mm-hmm. Are you taking that $20,000 and 100% putting it into equipment, or what does this all go into? Do you divvy it up between, you know, hey, we need to put so much to the side for our expenses like electricity. We need to put so much to the side for the actual rental or the mortgage of the property that we're in right now, or is it strictly mining?
Let's take a brief moment to hear from our show sponsors.
What's going on, everybody? So I know there's a lot of busy individuals out there like myself. I find myself sometimes struggling with time management when I'm dealing with things with my blog, my podcast, managing my social media accounts. Sometimes it can be really taxing and time consuming. So one of the things I started doing recently that has been super helpful is outsourcing some of this work to subcontractors and freelancers. And I'm doing that through a website called Fiverr. I have a link in the podcast description below that will take you to Fiverr and give you a discount up to $100 off your first order with them. Check it out. It's been a lifesaver for me. It's been saving me a lot of time and a lot of stress, and I really think it could do the same for you. Check out the link below or go to www.averagejoefinances.com/Fiverr, Fiverr. What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about the podcast editing service that we use for the Average Joe Finances podcast. That is editpods.com. And what I really like about them is it's a subscription-based service, so the prices are fantastic. And not only do they do the podcast episodes for us, but they also make us videos, audiograms, social media caption videos. They do our show notes, thumbnails. It's just fantastic products. Go check them out at editpods.com.
Let's get back to today's episode.
You're listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Whether it's single or multifamily real estate, the stock market, or side hustles, we discuss it all. Strap in and enjoy the ride.
Well, we've been pretty fortunate with our investors thus far. We are offering hosting services as well, where other miners, if they need, you know, they're at their capacity and they need a facility to just hold their units at and continue mining, they're technically paying our rent. So the hosters are paying the rent, so we don't have to worry about that. But on the other aspects, we do a little bit towards, like, maybe if we need to make sure an electric bill is paid or just, you know, unknown expenses. but the majority of it, and I would say at least 90% of it, is going towards equipment.
90%. Okay. You know, I just wrote this down because of the way that you just described that, especially if you have other people that are, you know, they're using you as a host to put their mining operation, you're essentially, this is like crypto house hacking, right? You know what house hacking is.
Yeah.
So this is like crypto house hacking, man. These guys are coming in and, you know, living with you or renting out your space and paying your rent for you or paying your mortgage for you. Like that's awesome, dude. Like, yeah. So there you go. You guys need to coin that. Make sure you put that on your stuff that you guys are crypto house hacking. That's really good stuff. Okay, cool. Yeah, for sure, man. All right. So now, are there any other assets besides crypto that you personally invest in? I know we talked a little bit offline. Your partner, Scott, kind of dabbles a little bit in the stock market. Do you do anything else like that?
I mean, beyond like a 401k that I have from previous employers, you know, that's just sitting and doing its thing. No, I have pulled away from like apps like Robinhood or Webull, things like that, retail investing. And I just, there's too much drama inside of that right now that I personally just don't feel comfortable being a part of it. Now, my co-host Scott, like he's still in Robinhood and doing some things here and there, but he is slowly migrating, pushing his assets into more crypto-based items. And then my partner that's with us on the mine, John from the Side Hustle Enterprise, he does a lot of stocks and diversifying and things like that. He's a huge AMC maxi right now. So there's a lot of different things going on when it comes to like who's involved, and we all have different opinions, and it's great because we get to shoot all that to, with each other. But for me personally, I'm one of those people that like, I can't do a lot of different things. Okay. Right. I need to focus on one specific thing and I need to be great at it. So crypto is basically my baby at this point, and I'm trying to stay away from other assets for the time being.
Yeah, you don't want to be a jack of all trades and master of none. You want to master your craft and keep that thing moving, keep that train rolling. So that's awesome. Now, you know, because we talked a little bit offline, and that's kind of the answer I was trying to pull out of you, because this is kind of the route I want to go with talking, you know, talking about mastering your craft, right? And finding that particular thing, because, you know, on this show, we talk a lot about financial freedom and how to build your wealth and how there's so many different ways to do it. Mostly I have real estate investors that come on this show. I've had a couple other people that are big in the stock market. And recently I've had a few more folks come on and talk about crypto. But you're pretty much like the first person who's saying like, hey, I'm all in on this and here's why. And I really like that. And I respect that answer, because you want to make sure that if you're going all in on something, you really know, you know, what you're doing, what you're getting yourself into, but you're utilizing it in a way other people that I've had on the show utilize for their investments in real estate.
Yeah.
Right. And I really like that. Like, you're taking all those different aspects and saying, hey, this works here too. And we can continue to have a thriving business treating it the same way we would treat a piece of real estate. And it's all about the way that you treat your own business and the fact that you're, you know, your operation is a business and you treat it as such. So that's really awesome. And your mindset when it comes to this, to immediately think, hey, you know, we can help some other guys out. They can, you know, keep their stuff here. We'll host it for them, and boom, they're paying our rent. They're paying our bills. So that's really awesome, man. So I just wanted to point that out, that it doesn't necessarily have to be that you're in, you know, a specific thing or, you know, a couple different things. You know, we talk a lot about diversification. I do believe in diversification, but there's different ways you can diversify. I'm sure you're not just all in Ethereum. I'm sure you have several cryptocurrencies and altcoins and other things like that. It's the same thing as the stock market. It's like saying, well, somebody's in the stock market, you know, and that's the only thing they do, then, you know, they're not really doing anything for themselves, but they're in multiple different stocks. They have a diversified portfolio, right? So yeah. You know, it's the same thing in when you look at crypto, and I think people need to start realizing that you know, crypto is the up and coming, well, not up and coming, like it's here. It is the game changer, but you need to look at it the same way you would look at any other asset class, because it is an asset class. And I think for me, I'm coming to that realization that, you know, because I've always been a kind of like towards crypto. But you know, I you know, as I talk to more crypto enthusiasts, and it's not just people that are hyping it up because, of whatever, because you see that a lot too. You see those whales out there, especially on YouTube, hyping up a specific coin. So it blows up and then they sell all theirs. And then, you know, everybody else is left holding the bag. And, you know, those are pyramid schemes. But when you have legit, you know, coins and legit cryptocurrencies, like the stuff that you guys are mining, the operations that you guys are doing, you know, it really, it's a business and you have to treat it as such. So you're definitely going about that the right way. So I definitely respect that. And I'm learning a lot right now. So this is really cool, man.
Thank you. Well, and to feed off what you're saying here, so I am diversifying and it is in crypto, just like you are saying. We don't mine just, you know, one particular coin like Ethereum or something like that. We are speculative mining, especially right now. You know, we're still in a bull run that was supposed to end at least a year ago at this point. You know, we're dabbling in different coins and trying to figure out what we can. We're utilizing same resources that we've already built and know run efficiently and putting it towards different coins and tokens and things like that. And we are expelling a little bit of our own money and putting it into projects. So it's a little bit of everything, especially in the crypto world.
Absolutely.
A lot there that you can capitalize, and you have to do your own research and figure out what's going to work best for you on that. And to kind of go back on to, you know, solely focusing on this, right? And the path that I'm taking in making sure that I'm trying to be a master of crypto, and I maybe just token that. But I realized when I started real estate, so I've always been in real estate in some fashion, way, shape, or form, right? And I used to be really good doing mortgages. I am a really, really good processor when it comes to mortgages. Some of the companies I work for, I'd be looking at six figures easy just on base and commission and doing my job efficiently at that. Now, real estate, you know, I realized immediately after getting my license that a traditional real estate agent really wasn't my career path. Like that wasn't the way through. I can't be a buyer's agent, and most people have to start off as a buyer's agent. It's just one of the, you know, one of the grounds you have to cover to do it, to get in your database, get things going and solidify yourself as a listing agent. And, you know, I would get deals now and then, and, you know, driving around in the valley itself, you need to drive everywhere, and you could be on one opposite side of the valley, which is 2 hours away from the other opposite side. And I was just like, this is not what I want to do when it comes
to... Not with today's gas prices.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, gas prices are ridiculous. But even when I was doing it, they weren't very friendly either. You know, getting in, I had a couple partners that I was dealing with wholesaling. One of them was a really good friend. Still, you know, is a good friend, but he's, you know, solely focusing on wholesaling and doing his thing and is a licensed real estate where... I again realized very quickly, adapted to real estate, the projects, getting to know contractors. Like I had a lot of fun doing it, but I felt like this isn't it. Like I know how to do it and I know how to make a profit doing it. And it just wasn't it. Then we discovered crypto, me and my co-host. And it's not that we discovered it. I had dabbling, and I kind of told you about that with my Bitcoin on a computer. Had been dabbling in it and then, you know, coming back to it again as Ethereum started really pumping and things like that and you know, taking the mainstream and being a number, you know, one contender to Bitcoin. I just like, I don't know. I think we really need to do it. And as soon as I started reverse engineering that rig and started building our own and really learning and adapting to what the culture of crypto is, because it changes by the minute, even quicker than that sometimes, I just fell in love. So it ended up being like this passion of this is it. Like I need to focus on this. I enjoy doing this. Like it's just one of those things where you found a calling, I guess, or something. And it's hard to explain, but it's just, I realized immediately, like, this is the way I want to go.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. And you know, it's funny because as you talk about everything and you're describing like how you got started and how this whole operation is going. And in my brain, I'm tying it to real estate and, you know, different thoughts of how, you know, how it's very similar when it comes to investing in real estate or the stock market, how the way you're doing your operation is very similar to if you were doing any other type of asset class, right? Mm-hmm. Now, we talked offline before I hit the record button, and you had just mentioned it just now about the Bitcoin fiasco that you ran into a couple of years ago. So if you could, for our listeners, tell them about your laptop that is in your house with Bitcoin on it that you can't get to.
So when I first heard about Bitcoin, I decided that I was going to attempt to mine it. And this was just all on my own. This is back at a time where you could technically mine Bitcoin on a GPU still, like it was still efficient enough to do that. It was right on the cusp where it was just about to go to specific integrated computers that mine Bitcoin versus mining it on a GPU or a graphics processing unit. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try. And so I attempted to try and mine Bitcoin. I did mine a little bit of it. A few coins, at least. I downplay that a little bit. A few coins. it took a toll on my laptop. Completely destroyed it. Right now, I can't even really boot it up. So I have had that laptop now sitting in my garage for years. I've lost the seed phrase to the wallet that's on it. So there is just Bitcoin sitting in my garage. Lots of it, I would say at this point. I know I said a few coins, but it is a little bit a chunk of change based on the value now. And I'm just trying to figure out a way to, you know, a time or something to where I can actually, you know, get around the seed phrase and get my wallet again.
Yeah. So the reason why I wanted you to bring that up, right, is because this is when you first started, right? When you first started looking into crypto, you kind of jumped in, not really knowing. And you got yourself in a situation where, hey, you know, I'm doing it. I'm mining some coin, and then laptop dies and you essentially lose everything. The same way that people investing in other asset classes like real estate, if they, you know, they're just getting into it and they didn't really like have everything together and know what they're doing at first, and they buy a deal that doesn't quite work out for them and it blows up in their face. And then what do? They walk away and say, I'm not investing in real estate anymore. But what did you do? You lost all this stuff. It's there, but it's not, right? But you had this happen to you and you didn't let it deter you. You said, hey, you know, I still think there's something here in crypto. And you did a little more research. You learned a little bit more about it and how to, you know, do it a little bit better, not on a laptop that's going to explode by trying to do it. And you change your thought process, so you change your system, and you know, you and your co-host and your partner, right? And came in together and built this whole different operation. So I just wanted to point that out, that it's not always rainbows and butterflies, no matter what asset class you go into. There's going to be trials and tribulations. There's going to be things that test you that you have to overcome and figure out a way to get past these barriers or break through these barriers, even with failure, right? And I wouldn't call this failure, right? Because you didn't fail. Or you could call it failing forward, right? Because you kept going. You didn't let it deter you, and you kept, you know, your mind on the prize and or your eyes on the prize and your mind on the goal. So that's why I wanted to bring that up, because I think that's super important for anybody that's listening that wants to get into it. Hey, you know, it's just like anything else. Do the research and make sure you have a good operating system before you get yourself into something like this.
And look, I fully admit, like, I put it down for years. Like I just, it's like, okay, that was a bad experience. Let's, you know, put a breather on it. Doing the 9-to-5. I was still doing the 9-to-5 at that time anyways, but you know, all of a sudden getting a real estate license, doing wholesaling, and then coming back and rediscovering it. So it's not like just, you know, it was a failed and then just attempted again. Like I was like, nah, I got hurt on this one for the time being. I need to like put that aside and I'll find a different way.
Yeah, no, definitely. So Mark, this is super awesome. Like I really feel like I learned a lot about just crypto mining in general, just from this conversation. And we didn't even talk too much about it, but I think it's the whole mindset behind it. It's the mindset you have with the operation that you currently have with your co-host. I want to talk a little bit about your podcast, right? So because you have utilized your podcast now as a catalyst for your business, right? So you talk about different things, like you know, you've had comedians on and you talk comedy, you talk movies and shows, and you also talk crypto because you like to talk about the things that you like to talk about. So I think that's really cool that, you know, you're not just saying, hey, this podcast can be strictly this. Like, hey, our podcast is about, this is what we're into, this is what we want to talk about. Come hang out with us, right? And I think that's really neat. What made you decide that, you know, when you went from comedy and TV shows, what made you decide to talk about what you're doing with crypto on it? Was it just because you you enjoyed talking about it and learning about it, and you just wanted to keep that conversation going. What made you jump into that?
We had been talking to, I don't know if you want to call them a guru or something along those, but basically somebody that's very successful at podcasting. And they talk about growing your show quite a bit when it comes to podcasting.
Right.
And he was like, hey, you need to build a fence around your podcast. It's great that you guys, because initially when we started the show, we talked about whatever and whenever and however. And one thing I heard a while back is, you know, it's very easy to make a podcast, but it's very difficult to make a good podcast. In opening the conversation with more people in the podcast world, it came to the realization we're talking to this guru, and he was make a fence. So what are you going to do? You know, and at that time we always had comedians on, and we didn't want to let that go because we have a lot of fun when it comes to, you know, talking about comedy with comedians, because they just have a different viewpoint and insight on the world. And then, you know, we got a referral from somebody in the podcast world their show is mainly pop culture and actors and things like that. And he was like, hey, can you have, you know, a couple of my friends on? One of them happened to be Kevin L. Johnson. So we got that referral and we were like, this is a lot of fun still too. So let's, you know, incorporate cinema, right? And this is at the time when we decided, okay, well, we're going to start doing crypto. And me and my co-host, when we first started, we knew nothing, literally nothing about crypto. When you look at the big picture of everything, we knew there's an app, you can buy crypto, but we didn't want to buy crypto. We want to mine it. And so we didn't know anything about mining. So we thought it would be a good idea to start having guests on to help teach us basically, or give us some more insight on crypto, because crypto, like I said earlier, changes by the minute and sometimes even faster than that. And getting these guys on to explain it to us, because I need things explained to me personally as if I was like a kindergartner. And not to say that like I have some type of learning disability or anything like that. That's just the way I understand things. So if I can understand it that way, then I can convey it out in a message that other people like me can then, you know, understand it. So I felt
that's how you helped me understand. That's for sure.
So I was like, if we incorporate this, right, there is literally no podcast out there that's like comedy, cinema, crypto. Let's make this our fence and let's learn more about crypto as we have these people on. And hopefully I can convey things too with doing a little bit more YouTube videos and things like that to where people can understand it on my level, because I'm not the only one. I will sit there, especially when we first started mining crypto. I would watch videos. They would start talking about certain things. I would have to stop the video and go look up exactly what they just said. And I feel like I am not the only one that's like that. And so I felt it necessary, at least for our show, that maybe we should do that for other people.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I really like that. It's funny. And I want to bring this up because we talked about this before we started recording. I had mentioned to you, I said, one of the really cool things about being a podcaster is when you could bring somebody on that's going to talk about something that you don't know too much about, and you could sit here and learn. Like I told you before, if I'm looking down while we're talking, it's because I'm not ignoring you. I'm taking notes. And as you saw, I've been looking down several times and taking several notes, just talking about, you know, just writing down the stuff that you're talking about with your story. And, as I want to come back to certain topics, I write it down. And that's where the whole crypto house hacking thing came up, because I thought that was really cool. And I'm like, hey, this is pretty awesome. So I think that's, you know, the way that you're doing it is you're still having fun with it and you're still enjoying yourself. And that's one of the things that I love about podcasting is I get to bring people on and have conversations like this, learn something, but make it enjoyable too. Like I'm really enjoying this conversation with you. I like the dynamic we have. It's just been super cool, man. And I really think that, you know, you and your partner are onto something. Especially in that particular niche. I mean, that's pretty cool, the way that you're combining these three topics. And, I'm definitely going to go, you know, subscribe and listen to it myself. So speaking of that, all right. So where can people find Mark and Scott? Where can they find the Amigos PC podcast or, you know, YouTube channel, website, anything like that. Can you share that with us?
So you can find all of our content, YouTube channel, everything like that, where our social medias are at and everything like that on our website at amigospc.net. We are Amigos PC, all one word, on all social media avenues, including YouTube. So if you want to go out there, we are running a giveaway right now where we are trying to hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. If we do that before, on or before the birthday of Doge, which is December 8th, we're going to be giving 1,000 Doge coins away.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really cool. Okay. So now, I asked you that before the other question I wanted to ask you, just because that's the route that the conversation was going. But now, do you have any tips or tricks that you would recommend to somebody who wants to get started in crypto mining?
Just do it. It is really the main tip or trick.
Real quick, Nike, don't sue us.
Yeah, right. But no, yes, get into it. If you're going to do it, do it. The next thing is do your own research. Like, this is it can be very daunting and complicated, right? But it can also be very easy, and very easy to screw up. You need to find an avenue which you enjoy first. So if it's GPU mining, ASIC mining, which is an integrated computer that just mines one specific thing, or even just using a CPU. If you're a gamer and you got a graphics card, and while you're not gaming, you want to kind of dabble into it. The main vocal point, though, is if you want to really try it, just get into it and start.
Right on. Perfect. Perfect answer. I love it. So, hey, you know, Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure of a conversation. I really enjoyed it. I really feel like I learned a lot. I got some really great notes here. I definitely want to talk with you more offline and keep in touch, because this is just good stuff, man. So yeah, absolutely. Hey, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's a Saturday, and you've probably got a lot of mining to go do. Yeah. But I really do appreciate you taking some time on this weekend to have this chat with me and coming on the show.
I really appreciate it. And like you said, you know, really enjoying the conversation. I honestly could continue just talking and explaining things. So thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm out of here. Take care. Thank you for making it to the end of this episode. Greatly appreciate you being here with me today on the Average Joe Finances podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make this the episode that you go leave us a 5-star rating or subscribe to our YouTube channel. The Average Joe Finances podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Have an outstanding day.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.